Amarle Antoninus.
All right. There's a new sugyo. We're in a new sugyo now.
Where are we?
I mean, just as a general overview, you see from the previous sugyos that there's some stirrings of emes by the Romans. Here's your Cleopatra. She started talking about Tiberius Mason. The father, the Caesar. He doesn't go as far, but he's asking Shaz about his daughter, comes up with an answer. And now we're going to come to Rebbe and Antoninus.
Aren't we right after
we're over
the
here, on Tzadok Aleph and Aleph on the bottom. Rebbe and Antoninus. Antoninus is known as Antoninus Pius. He was one of the Roman emperors. He lived after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, way after the Korban. Probably over 100 years after Korban HaBayis.
Pius
Shani. We're talking about Antoninus Pius.
You watch too many movies.
No, I've never seen it.
Marcus Aurelius, I think he might have been known as Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus Aurelius is from that movie.
In any case, his name is Antoninus.
What's it from? Is that from The Gladiator?
And there's a series of encounters between him and Rebbe Anassi. So we'll do them one at a time.
I'm not interested in Marcus Aurelius.
Amalei Antoninus to Rebbe. Antoninus said to Rebbe. Three lines from the bottom on Tzadok Aleph and Aleph. Guf and Neshama, the body and the soul. Yechayim and Lifter Atzim and Adin. They can nullify any attempts against them to bring them to justice. They can do that. You can't lock them up, you can't put them in jail. Ketzer, how do they do this? How does it mean? You will see. Wait and you will see. Guf, I mean, the Guf says, why? What's the kasha? Because after Meir, after Mishana, so then there's a great heavenly tribunal, there's a court case. And every individual is brought to confront of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he has to give an accounting for his deeds throughout all the years. And in Yiddish you say it's Shreklich. You know what Shreklich is? You ever saw the movie Shrek? Well, it's Shreklich. Shreklich means it's terrifying. It's terrifying! I mean, it must have been a Jew that gave him that name. That name came from a Jewish mind. That's a Yiddish cup. It's a waste of a Jewish mind, but that's Hollywood. Shreklich! Can you imagine? Shreklich! And Antoninus, he comes up with a way out. He said, there's a way out. We can take care of this. We'll be putter. Putter is a good amnesty. What do you mean? This is right before the court case started. Right before it starts, they say, yeah, court adjourned. You know, like there's violent criminals. People accused of heinous crimes, did they get off on technicalities? If the cop didn't read the guy his Miranda warning, he didn't read him his rights beforehand, he could have done the worst thing in the world. He could be an ex-murderer. But you didn't tell him he has the right to remain silent. He gets off. He's free. You have to preserve his rights. Ex-murderers also have rights. When there's evidence, they have rights. You went into his house and you found an axe, a bloody axe. You have a search warrant. Technicalities. You have to preserve the civil liberties of people. So Antoninus says he's got a great idea. And there's a lot of chokmah to it. Kuf and the Shama, the body and the soul, you couldn't lift her out some in a din. They can get acquitted. They can get off. Ketzad. Guf, what does the Guf say? They're in front of the court now. The Shama caught us. The Guf says, I didn't do anything wrong. It's all his fault. It's the Shama's fault. And I'll bring you a raya. Shemi yam, shepir, shemi meni. From the day... Yeah, the Guf is talking. The Guf has the microphone. The Guf has the floor. The Guf is saying, The day that the neshama separated from the guf from the day of death, Harani Mutal Kevin Diamond. I'm lying here like a silent stone. The kever. Yes, like a stone that doesn't say anything. Stones don't talk. Stones don't do anything. Stones just lie there.
Why is it so? I say a dead body.
Because he is a dead body. He's trying to tell you what it's like. He's a dead body saying that he's like a silent stone.
Nobody says that to the dead anyways.
He's dead. The kever. So he said, it's a raya that, you know who did all the averis? It was the neshama that did the averis. Because once the neshama is gone from the guf does what?
Nothing.
Nothing. So who did it? You know, but now they're giving him, there's a din on his averis. He didn't do anything. Did nothing. Did nothing. Good timing. So then they turn to the neshama. He said, okay, your turn. Neshama, Maris, the neshama says, guf chata. No, it was the guf that did the averis. Shemiyem shepirashtimi mani, from the day that the neshama separated from the guf, what did the neshama do? Hareni parachas babi kitzipor. I'm flying in the air like a bird. That's got to mean something. The neshama is flying in the air like a bird. When it's together with the guf, it's not flying in the air like a bird. Now it's flying in the air like a bird. There's no Rashi on this, of course. Flying in the air like a bird. So it seems that obviously flying in the air like a bird is a way of saying that it's not doing anything wrong. We'll get back to it. I'm just saying, you know, flying in the air like a bird. So the guf's doing nothing, and the neshama is not doing anything wrong. So neither one is at fault. And then Antonina said to Rabbi, so they're going to get off. They're going to get off. It's a good time now. We're convinced. Are we just thrown off all personal responsibility? Because after death, the guf doesn't do anything, the neshama doesn't do anything wrong. Whatever the neshama is doing is called flying like a bird. The Rebbe is challenged. The Rebbe answers, and I want to go back into this. I just want to read you the Gemara, but this is a typical Roman outlook. Rebbe said, I'm going to tell you, for instance, I'm going to give you a muscle, a parable. Muscle lamad David Daimon. What is this like? Lamelech Basel Adam, there was a king of flesh and blood. Shaya Le Pides Naya. He had a nice orchard. Beautiful orchard. Vayabai Bechiris Nais. He had ripe figs. Vayabai Shnei Shaimon. He appointed two guards because if you don't guard your figs, you end up without the figs. They get stolen. So he appointed two guards. Now he was afraid that the guards are going to steal the figs. Because who's going to guard the guards? So Echad Kiger, so one of the guards was a lame, a cripple. He can't reach the figs. He can't. Vechad Suman, the other one was a blind guard. He can't see the figs. So the king figures he's safe. Amalech Igal Asuma, so the lame guide says to the blind guide, Bechiris Nais Ani Rei Batah Padis. I can see some beautiful figs. The blind guy can't see them, but the lame guy could. So it's called compensation. They're compensating for each other's shortcomings. It's beautiful. It's a relationship. I see my figs. So the blind guy says, well, I can't see them. And you can't walk, so what are we going to do? So the lame guy says, yeah, but not just because you're blind doesn't mean there's something wrong with your legs. Bye bye Kiveni. Let me ride on you. Unaviyim la'achlam. And we're going to bring them to eat. We're going to have a good feast. We're going to have a good eating. And I'll tell you where to go. Rachav Chigar Gabi Suma. The lame guy rides on top of the blind guy. And they brought them, the Yachlam, and they ate them. The Yamim brought Bala parties, so the king comes. Amalad, he said to them, Bechair is nice. Hey, Kanan, where are my figs? Where'd my figs go? Amalad Chiga, the Chiga said, you know this is coming. He said, Klum Yeshua Reglaim Lahalapahim? Do I have legs that I could walk to get to them? Amalad Summa, and Summa says, Klum Yeshua Reglaim Liris Ma. Liris? Do I have eyes that I can even see the figs? Oh, I'm watching figs. I didn't know I was watching figs. I had no idea what I'm watching. Ma'asa. So what did the king do? He can't judge them. Because he can't pin it down. They both have like it's an alibi. They both have an alibi. He can't walk, he can't see. So here he puts the lame guy on top of the blind guy. And he brings them to court. And he judges them in the same position that they were when they committed the crime. The alleged crime. Hashem doesn't judge the neshama. Hashem doesn't judge the guf. Hashem judges them together. But then Hashem kiechod. Shnemar, Yikra Shemai Mi'al. Hashem summons the heavenly aspect of the person. And he calls the earthly part. The pasuk says Shemai Va'aretz, but it's not referring to heaven and earth. It's referring to the heavenly part and the earthly part. But didn't he? Yikra l'shamay miyadat in the shamal arts. All them is a good. That's the good news.
What's the last part mean?
He calls shamayim v'aretz to judgment. Hashem judges the shamayim v'aretz. It's the earthly part and the whatchamacallit. All right, Antoninus is a Roman emperor. Antoninus, I'd like to talk more about him, but we don't have all that much time today. Antoninus is a Roman emperor. Antoninus is a descendant of Esau. He may not have been a biological descendant, but he's definitely a Talmud. The Romans are a mixture of Esau's issue, his descendants, and Edom, Seir, the descendants of a king called Seir. Har-Seir. But they, you know, whether they biologically descend from Esau, or whether they're the Talmidim of his, they're all Esau. Edom is Esau. It's known as Rome. Esau was an enigma.
What's that?
Mystery. I'll rattle off a few salient facts about Esau. He was a Rasha incarnate. But Kibbutz Av, by him, was sacred. The Gemara says that his Kibbutz Av was unparalleled. Even the Talmid HaChachamim of the times of the Gemara didn't serve their fathers like Esau did. When he served his father, he had special clothes. He went to bring his father something. He put on a suit to serve his father.
Did they say why he cared so much about this special material?
No, they didn't. We're going to do that now. That's going to be this Gemara. Esau was keeping out. Yaakov Avinu, he got punished because his Kibbutz Av wasn't perfect. Yaakov Avinu was away from his son for 22 years because he was away from his father for 22 years. There was something missing in his Kibbutz Av. So that means Esau's Kibbutz Av was, he was always there by his side. Esau couldn't kill Yaakov. He wanted very much to kill Yaakov. But as long as his father's alive, he's not going to kill Yaakov. You have to understand how much Esau wanted to kill Yaakov to understand that. He wanted nothing more in his life than to kill Yaakov. There was nothing more. It was a burning passion. He lived to kill Yaakov. His father's alive. He's not going to do it. He wanted his father to think that he was medaktik in mitzvahs. He wanted his father to think that mitzvahs are important to him. He has a nature. It's akin to a schizophrenic nature, a dual nature, a split personality, a dual personality. But there has to be a mahalach to it. The Medrash says that Esau wants to, he tries to go into Gan Eden. After he dies, Esau tries to go into Gan Eden. Now, we don't know very much about what goes on after death, but one thing we know, there's no sheker after death. If he wanted to go into Gan Eden, that means he had a reason which stands up to Emes. He should be able to go in there. It's not just, he sees they're having a good time that he wants to go. If the Medrash says he wanted to go into Gan Eden after death, then there must be some emes to him going into Gan Eden. The day of Esau's wedding, all his affairs from him.
Huh?
Hashem forgave all of Esau's affairs the day he got married. He married Yishmael's daughter. She's called Machlas. Machlas means Mekila. Not Pashit. And on the other hand, he sells his Bechara for a pot of beans. He's Kefren Kiyasa Mason. He says, I'm going to die anyway, so I'll sell you my birthright for a pot of beans.
Isn't that the right to serve the Kohanim?
How do you do that? It's everything. It's the whole birthright. It's the whole destiny, the whole future for a pot of beans.
That's awesome.
How do you understand that?
Jack and beans.
Selling for a pot of beans. I'm going to die anyway, salty. I'm going to die anyway, salty.
Yeah, but then why wasn't Yaakov punished for offering it? He knew the Esau doesn't care, so he knew the answer would probably be sure.
Yeah, that should be like a stumbling block in front of a blind man.
Because it should be such a sense to even think he can get
because if you see somebody using $1 million bills for toilet paper, and you buy it off him, you're doing something good, not something bad. I mean, you know, this is the Bechira by Esav is like in the bathroom. It's just not. You excuse the. That's worse. He's selling it. He's dirtying it. It doesn't belong by Esav. He's not the one that should be bringing carbonus. Esav's head is in the Maris Machpelah. Esav's head is in the Maris Machpelah. You know that. The Maris Machpelah is like an Eden in this world. Adam Rishon there, Avram Masara there, Eliezer is serving Avram Avinu over there. Yaakov is there with Leah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and they're in a state which resembles death, but they're not. They're doing things over there. Esau's head is there. Esau's trying to bite Yaakov's head off, you know. When he meets him, you know, everyone knows this. You know, he goes to the neck, tries to bite his. What's going on here? It's a very, very lengthy topic. It's a broad topic, but I just wanted to mention these things in connection with this Gemara. Esau took a midah and distorted it. He distorted it by taking it to its very end.
Which thing, though?
As you said in this world, all the midas that we have are meant to be used in the proper measure. You know what the word midah means?
Measurement.
And we usually use that word midah to refer to character traits. Why do we call character traits measures? And the answer is because character traits have to be measured. To take a midah and to take it to its very end, there's only one midah which you do that to, and that's gaiva. That's the only thing you do that to. To get rid, it's run the opposite direction. But any other media you're supposed to mix.
Anger.
Same thing. Anger comes from God. I know, it comes from God. You're angry because you feel that someone stepped on you and someone. It's the same thing. It's the same reason. But any other media you're supposed to have measurement, you're supposed to have a mix. I mean, you see that in our very makeup. What are we? We're a composition of Father, Mother, and Hashem. A Kadosh Baruch Hu could have created a world that a father would just give birth to a child, like amoebas. It's called a sexual generation, you know. It could be like amoebas. Hashem will create only men, and men will give birth to men. But Hashem didn't do that. Every single person in creation, every person that was born is a product of a mixture. He has a little bit of the father, a little bit of the mother, Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mixture. That's the underlying reason why incest is also. Because if you want to have a little Havana and Gilei Arayis, incestuous relationships are also because there's no mixture. a brother and a sister, they're the same. They're as close as possible to being the same in this world, because they both come from the same father and mother, and they produce a child. There's no mixture. Let's say if you just want an understanding of that, there's no mixture. Because Baruch wants us to take the mixture, he wants us to make mixtures, he wants us to do something. It's a challenge. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Make Hashem wants us to make chocolate chip cookies. If the only thing in creation would be candy, and then you have like a box, that you have a piece of candy that ejects more candy and more candy and more candy and more candy, that's no point in such a creation. Hashem wants us to make a chocolate cake. You make a chocolate cake if you don't know what you're doing. Put in too much salt or too little sugar, or, you know, or you forget the eggs, or you put in, you know, you substitute the wrong kind of oil, it comes out lousy, it flops. Try to make a sponge cake one day, it could flop. You agitate it too much, you traumatize, you traumatize the sponge cake dough, you know what happens when you traumatize it? It flops. You have to be delicate with it. A proper mix. Esav took the midah to the very end. His midah was his father's midah, Yitzchak's midah. That's called midah sadin. Midah sadin is a very harsh midah. We generally associate it with punishment, retribution, but let's go away from that for a minute. Midah sadin means exactitude.
Which means?
In this form, if something is here, that means it's here because it must be here. There's nothing that's here because of it happens to be here because it's a luxury, and that goes down to even the smallest, minutest particles. There's no flake of dandruff in creation that's not there because it just happens to be there. There's a gzeirim and a shemayim that this flake of dandruff should be here, and at this particular point it should come down and land. And this is true. That din is exactness, and it is true. And that's why midas din is affiliated with punishment. You know why? Because why does a person get punished? Because he wasn't exact. He was supposed to put on his phone exactly this way. And he was supposed to, you know, not talk or not be masiach das exactly. And put in exactly the same spot. And it wasn't exact. So he's going to get punished. And it goes further. He gets punished for not being exact, and the punishment's exact. He's going to get exactly this. And there's no din. I mean, if we, the Medrash says that if Hashem would create the world with din, we wouldn't be here. I know this is all very good, and it keeps us on our toes. But what's the point? What's the point where it can cause a person to be a kaifer? If I'm here, it's when you turn that meter towards yourself. If I'm here, so it must be because I'm supposed to be here. So if it sounds so far so good. And if I'm supposed to be here, it must be that I must be here. And it must be that the world can't be without me being here, which means I have to be here. Which means that my existence is guaranteed. And that's where it starts getting a little bit hairy. My existence is guaranteed. Let's go weiter. If my existence is guaranteed, so that means no matter what I do, think, or say, that's also, I said it, and since I said it, it must be I had to say it. Din! There's like a decree that I'm supposed to say this, and I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do it. Which goes to the final kfira, that whatever I say, think, or do is din. It's just. And that leads to my desire. That means, you know, so you follow the whole mahalach, that makes a person into a god. Midas Adin has to be tempered with other Midas. What's the? If we don't want to go down that road, let's say, you know what I'm saying. I hope that I didn't lead you down the road and now we're stuck there. Midas, it's not true because there's other Midas. There's a Midas of Chesed. There's a Midas of Rech.
Doesn't Hashem deal with us that way? Like all bad
yes,
that happened
to us. No, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu has Midas of Rachamim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, yes, each person is going to get what he deserves, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't always give it to him right away. Hashem gives him time. There's something called tshuva. Tshuva has nothing to do with din. Tshuva and din are opposites. Tshuva does not make sense. In the very system of din, there's no way. You break it, you bought it. Oh, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again. I love you, pay me $3.95 for the thing you broke. There's no such thing as tshuva in din. But Hashem, he has a meter called tshuva. And there's a mixture. So that's the thing. If you take din and you take it all by itself, then you come to Kfira. But a Jew believes that, Esav believed if there's Olam HaAzeh, that means that when you're in Olam HaAzeh, you ever heard of the expression, when in Rome do as the Romans do? It's very appropriate when we're discussing Esav, and Esav is Rome, he's Edom. Esav believed that Hashem, he believed that there's an Olam HaAzeh, he also believed that there's an Olam Haba. But he looked at Olam HaAzeh and he saw it's a purely physical world, and it must be that way, and it has to be that way, and you don't see the spiritual in Olam HaAzeh, you don't. We don't see it, no one ever saw a soul, it's never been detected by a seismograph. So that means when you're in Olam HaAzeh, that means the din is you have to be in Olam HaAzeh, exactly what Olam HaAzeh is, and that means you have to act as if there is no Olam Haba. That means like when you're in Italy, they teach you this. Forget you know English. Here we speak only Italian. You might have a language tutor, you go to Italy, I read this one, you know. You don't know a word of English. I want you to think in Italian. America doesn't exist. That's the way you get into the culture, into the language. They do this to spies, to protect the spies. It's training. You're in Olam HaAzeh. So Olam HaAzeh is Olam HaAzeh. And Din, the meat of Din, which is Esav's meat, says that you have to cut out anything that's outside of Olam HaAzeh, which means you cut out everything. That means as far as I'm concerned, nothing else exists except for Olam HaAzeh. And he lives like that. When he gets to Olam Haba, it'll be different. But now you're in Olam HaAzeh. And he lives like that. That's called cutting off the head from the body. Understand it. He acknowledges there's a head, he acknowledges there's a body, they're just not attached to each other. The head is where, but what is the head? It has nothing to do with the here and now. But I once came from the head. You know, you need a head, and the head, I mean, my analogy of a head and a body is not 100% accurate. Because we mean the source of all things, and then what came from it. So it's almost like he believes that the head creates bodies. The body comes from the head. You know, it's an outgrowth of the head. So he acknowledges the head is the source, but it has nothing to do with now. Olam HaAzeh is the body. Olam Haba is the head. The head is where it came from. I respect that. But I'm not going to live that way now because I'm not there. Mitzvah Kibbutz is a mitzvah being mechabed sources. The father is like the head and the children are like the body. The children are extensions of the father. Mitzvah Kibbutz is his only mitzvah. And the other mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to do with, you shake a little with your hands, those are body mitzvahs.
So why?
He doesn't do body mitzvahs.
So why wasn't he keyboard in his aim too?
What?
Why wasn't he?
He was. I mean, the father, you see, the father is the true source. Father's the true source. The mother takes what the father gives and she does something with it. The father's the initiator. The mother is a source also, but the father is the source of the source. We don't have any records in Chazal that he wasn't Mechabed's mother. You're right, we don't really have too many encounters between them. Mitzvah Kibbutz is the mitzvah of being Mechabed the source, but I respect it, but I'm not going to do any mitzvahs. There's no mitzvahs. Ritzicha, murder, that's din. You're cutting people down. That's din, it's all din. Those were his mitzvahs. I'm saying that again, those were his mitzvahs. To cut people down. That was his avaida, din. Din means I'm here, and I have to be here. Nobody else has to be here. Only I have to be here. So you all go, goodbye, you're history. You know, goodbye. That's why that's why he wanted to go to Gan Eden, because he felt that he had a shita. He was consistent. Anything having to do with respecting the source, he did. Anything having to do with doing things in Anamaza, he acted in this world. So he thought he was entitled. He was consistent. He was wrong. He was consistent. That's why he tried to chop Yaakov's head off by biting on it, because that's what Esav did. That matched his whole life, was separating the head from the body. And that's why his head was in Moshe Machpelah, because to some extent he was consistent with Kibbutz. So he gets credit for being consistent with that. What does it have to do with that? Now let's get back to Agamar. Antoninus is different than Esav. He was born in the culture of Esav. He has no choice but to see things the way Esav sees things, but there's a difference. He's coming to Yaakov to ask. That's the difference between him and Esav. Esav says, I'm convinced, I don't have to ask. Antoninus is coming to Rabbi. He says, you could have messed up Ashkafis. You can have really, really disjointed perspectives and outlooks, but if you have a Rebbe, and you won't accept things, there's hope. Antoninus is the hope for all the Goyim of the world. He is the hope. He went to Rebbe. And you see the way he asked the Shiloh, the Guf and the Sham, he looks at them as two separate things. Now you see the beauty of this? They're two separate things. And if they're two separate things, you can't judge them. The Guf, Shama, they're two separate entities. If they're two separate entities, so then you can't judge the Guf because it doesn't do anything. You can't judge the Neshama. Neshama doesn't want to do anything wrong. So Rebbe told him, he said, I'm going to give you a new insight. I'm going to teach you the proper insight in what reality is. The Guf is not a person. The Neshama is not a person. The person is Guf Neshama. And in this world, he has to live as if he's in both worlds. And in Olam Haba, we live with a guf also. Tchias HaMesim is the body comes back to life and goes to Olam Haba. That means in Olam Hazeh, we have a guf and a neshama. In Olam Haba, we have a guf and a neshama. And in both places, our lives has to reflect both the mix. There's no dichotomies. You can't split it. That's reality. That's reality. It's not enough just to be good enough to be a Jew at heart. To be a good Jew at heart. You have to be a good Jew at heart. You have to be a Jew with the body. The Maral says it's Pashup Shah in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, Yivahos. Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. People always use this Mishnah as a proof that you have to follow secular studies. The Maral says Pashup Shah in the Mishnah. Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah is learning with your brain. Derech Eretz is using your body. He said, you can have a guy learning. I mean, he doesn't say it like this, but I'm going to say it like this. You have a guy learning. Ellie loves this muscle. He hears it all the time. He's got his lazy boy. Pushes the lever with the recliner. He's got his MP3, you know, his iPod. He's got those three-dimensional headphones. He's got, you know, whatever you got. He's got incense burning, you know, the plastic, the soft lights. He's sinking in. Oh, he had a massage chair. He's got his article Gemara in front of him. Yeah. And he's learning! He is learning! And it's just so beautiful. These rabbis, they explain it so nice. It's so perfect. It's so, you have to be a moron not to understand it. They take the most complex things, they break it down. It's just so beautiful. He said, that's Talmud Torah, but there's no Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, there's no body. You're not using the body for the learning. You hear the Vart? You're not using the body for the learning. Just using the brain. He said, that's Esav. I'm sorry. That's Esav. You have to Talmud Torah, Derech Eretz. He says, you have to use the body. And that means that you have to work. You have to sweat. You have to bleed. He says, you have to push yourself. You're tired. You got to kill yourself. Like the Tzadikim, they put their feet in cold water not to fall asleep. And they would wrap wet towels around their head because their veins were throbbing and they thought they were going to have an aneurysm, Chas V'Shalom. He says, you don't learn art scroll. You learn Talmud Bavli. It's hard. It's hard. It kills. Why do you have to make it so hard? You know why they have to make it so hard? Because they want you to work. You ever heard of resistance training? Let's go work out. We're going to go pump iron. He used those weights. I'm going to use these. 3-pound weights. I go like this. Half an hour a day. I'm going to be pumped. I'm going to be buff. Yafa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Rebbe is teaching Antoninus that a man is guf, he's neshama, he's one. And you have to use your guf and neshama in the avodah And then the goof and the neshama both share the reward, and chas v'shalom, not the reward. Tomorrow we can talk more about this.